More than 94% of our law grads get jobs in the open market within 10 months of graduation. That's better than Harvard and Yale. Join the powerhouse. Now accepting applications at law.unh.edu. Federal Circuit is being urged to take on more patent cases. To explain the situation, I'm joined by Professor Ryan Vaca. This is the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about the law school and apply by visiting law.unh.edu. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or hosts and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire. So, Ryan, you were in a Bloomberg Law article the other day, and which I'm going to link in the episode description so everyone can check that out. Can you just tell me the makeup of the top patent court and what their role is?
Sure. So the Federal Circuit, the Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit, is a federal court of appeals, and they're based in Washington, D.C., and it hears all patent appeals. So whether they come from district court, from trial courts, or if it comes from the patent office, however the case gets there, it ultimately ends up at the Federal Circuit.
And they only hear patent cases?
No, they do hear other cases as well. They hear they're a semi-specialized court where they hear patent cases. They hear some trademark appeals from the patent office. They hear all trademark appeals from the patent office, but they don't hear trademark infringement cases from the district courts. They hear cases on like government, sort of government contracts, employee benefit issues, and international trade cases.
Okay, so but, the sort of things you'd expect a federal circuit to hear in general, also.
Right, and the vast majority of their docket though is patent cases.
How often do they – so one of the things that's brought up in the article is the full bench versus individual judges making rulings. I mean, how often at least with the IP side, is a full bench required for a decision to be made?
So going – so when the full bench is – here's a case. It's called going en banc, and it's fairly rare. Traditionally or typically, I would say cases are heard by a three-judge panel, or appeals are heard by a three-judge panel. They, the three judges will hear the case, they'll decide the case, and write up the opinion. The court will go en banc when there are if there's a split, or if there's just a very important issue that needs to be corrected or resolved. It doesn't happen very often because it does take a lot of time, of course. If you went en banc in every case, and there are 12 active judges on the federal circuit. There are also some senior judges as well. But when the court goes en banc, it's for all intents and purposes limited to the active judges. And so you can imagine if the court went en banc in every case, then it would...
Nothing would get done.
Nothing would get done, right. Yeah.
Bad enough as it is.
Right. And so, I mean, and sort of like the Supreme Court goes, right. They're, you know, essentially en banc in every case, and they hear very few cases.
Now, what's the issue that's being brought up by patent attorneys?
So the issue is really that there are a lot of issues in patent law that are unclear, that are unsettled. And so what you'll have is you'll have one panel of judges who will take up a particular issue, and they believe that the law is interpreted in whatever way. But then you'll get a different panel, three different judges, who may believe the law is interpreted in that same law is interpreted in a different way. And so the problem for patent practitioners is that the decision in your case can be panel dependent. It can depend very much on which judges you get for your panel, and it's in theory randomly drawn. But that's somewhat unsettling because we want we hope that the law is clear and that you can go in and you can make predictions about the law because a lot of times before you get to litigation, like you need to understand what the law is, right?
So it's the whole point of hiring an attorney,
right? Yeah. Initially, if you go through and you're trying to do some type of transaction, or if you're having some dispute with another person or another entity, then you want to be able to say, like, here's what the law is, and we are on the right side or wrong side of the law, and you can evaluate that and then make sort of informed decisions. If the law depends on which three judges are randomly assigned, then it makes it very difficult to sort of make those evaluations and plan and do sort of business planning and the like. So that's really the problem. And so what many of us have been urging is that the court should go en banc more frequently. And it has a history of doing that. It's so I wrote an article, I guess like 9 years ago now, looking at how frequently the Federal Circuit was going en banc in patent cases, and actually found that it was doing it quite frequently.
Oh, really?
It was taking up a bunch of issues, important issues, and it was trying to settle them. And but over time, over the last several years, that's really waned. And so the court's taking fewer and fewer of these cases.
Has the waning of it correlated with anything?
Yeah. So it's correlated with a big increase in the patent docket. So, as I mentioned before, the Federal Circuit hears patent cases, but it also hears other types of cases as well. And if you look at the trend over time of what sort of percentage of their docket is made up of patent cases, and the patent cases are typically more time consuming. They're just harder cases because you're dealing
pretty
with
technical, I'd imagine.
Right, exactly. You're dealing with sort of technical issues. And so it's, you know, and the judges, of course, aren't experts in every technology.
Yeah, and that's a big thing that people need to keep in mind is these are judges that handle many different types of cases. They're not patent experts per se. I'd imagine some of them might be patent experts if you're lucky. Mm-hmm. This will also change over time with who's on the court.
Right. And I mean, the judges on the court, because they are the exclusive court of appeals for patent cases, you know, they're very familiar with patent mm-hmm. law. But of course, you know, patent law is applied to a whole variety yeah. of technical issues, right? Whether it be, you know, DNA, whether it be robotics, or you know, whatever it may be. And of course, you know, any judge, you know, a judge may have perhaps some background in chemistry, for example, but they're not going to get all of the chemistry cases, right?
Right.
They're going to get some you know, high tech cases or some mm-hmm. biology, whatever it may be. So that's one of the that's one of the problems there. And so they don't have this expertise. But what's been going on though is that back in like I'd say 2010, the court's docket was about 44% patent cases. Mm-hmm. So still quite large.
Yeah.
But if you look today, the court is the court's docket is about 65% patent cases.
Wow.
So it's increased quite a bit, and the complexity is of course. Yeah, challenging
more.
As well. yeah, and so what's happened is what you're getting is the time that is taking the judges to resolve cases has also increased, and that's really not surprising given the increase in patent cases. So back in 2010, it took about 10 months from a case to be sort of docketed to its final disposition. Today, or as of last year, it was up to 15 months. And so they're spending more time on more cases, and they don't have as much capacity to go en banc because you have to get all of them together, and you know, they have to circulate the opinions, and it's sort of a administrative headache for mm-hmm. them to do so, and they're already sort of drowning they're struggling to keep their head above water with the number of patent cases.
Now, is this feasible
to go en banc
yeah.
more? Yeah, it is. I mean, it's certainly a challenge,
mm-hmm.
And I would say it's certainly going to be an inconvenience for the judges. Like, it will make their lives more difficult mm-hmm. to go en banc. But I don't think that's really the question that we need to be thinking about, because I'm sympathetic to, you know, to the judges, and I'm sympathetic to the increased workload that this will cause. And what myself and others who are encouraging the court to go en banc more frequently, we're not saying that, you know, every case should go en banc, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, just to put it in perspective, they're hearing, you know, at their peak, you know, they were hearing, you know, maybe 4 or 5 cases a year en banc.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're, you know, over the last couple of years, it's been like 1 or 2. Last year it was 0. So we're not asking for, you know, dozens and dozens,
yeah.
or hundreds of cases. We're talking
just
like single digits.
Please.
Yeah, right. We're hoping for single digits would be helpful. And so it, but that said, though, it will be an inconvenience for them. But I think the proper way of sort of framing it isn't, is it going to be more difficult for the you know, 12 judges on the federal circuit? But the question is, how is it going to impact sort of the stakeholders in the patent community, mm-hmm. right? Because yeah, it may be inconvenient for the judges, but you know what's also inconvenient for everybody else, for litigants or for patentees or for, you know, business planners or patent attorneys, is the uncertainty of not knowing what the law is, actually is. And that's very inconvenient, mm-hmm. right? You're trying to put together a deal and you're like, well, I don't know. Not really sure what the law is, how it's going to be interpreted. It depends what panel we get. Mm-hmm. And of course, we don't want to litigate it, but we may have to figure out what it is. And so that's also very inconvenient. And I think if you look sort of on balance, the inconvenience to sort of society and stakeholders is much greater than the inconvenience to the judges.
Has the have the judges or anyone in the courts spoken up at all about this?
So judges, they're reluctant to talk about it too much openly. Mm-hmm. They used to talk about it actually quite a bit during the 1980s. I have a paper coming out shortly with my co-author Peter Minnell at Berkeley. We have a paper coming out in the California Law Review that talks about some of this history. And in the 80s, the Court of Appeals, not the Federal Circuit in particular, but the general regional courts of appeals, they sort of openly debated the use of going en banc, and it was they, you know, sort of advocated for it, and it was sort of much more popular. It's that interest has waned over time for a variety of reasons, political issues and the like. But a lot of the concern I think that the courts have is sort of collegiality issues. Mm-hmm. And the reason that one of the reasons that judges don't like to go en banc, whether it be the Federal Circuit or otherwise, is that they are potentially overruling their colleagues, right?
Right.
And they're saying, you know, you got it wrong, and they have to work with this person, right? So they're gonna say, you know, we understand you interpreted the law this way. Most of us disagree with you, and we've reversed you. And then you have to sit with that person on a panel the next week, and you just told them, you know, sorry, you're wrong. And it's tough. You know, that's sort of a tough kind of personal dynamic that makes things more complicated. And so that's one of the challenges in getting courts to sit en banc, is sort of overcoming some of the collegiality issues.
Anything else on this?
Yeah. Hopefully the court will continue to not just the Federal Circuit. I'm pushing this in general. Hopefully all courts of appeals will sit en banc a little more frequently and not just consider their own sort of personal stake in the issue, but also think about how their decisions or lack of decisions impact, you know, society.
Thanks for listening to the UNH Law Podcast. Be sure to comment and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Spotify. See you next Thursday. Join the powerhouse for legal education. Earn your JD, LLM, master's degree, or certificate from a top 100 law school. Residential and online programs available. Now accepting applications at law.unh.edu.